Welcome to Loading the Bar with physical training experts Parker McBride and Matt Wasko. Our Fit Lifestyle podcast covers the science of nutrition and fitness, together with the challenges we all face to be disciplined. We'll guide you through the minefields of fads and gimmicks and all manner of BS that tempt us in today's fitness world. Ready to begin? Then let's start loading the bar.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Loading the Bar podcast. This is episode 57. My name is Brian Keller, filling in for Parker McBride today, as you can see, with my co-host, as always, Matt Wasko. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So, yeah, everyone probably just suddenly got a new voice opening us up there.
Either they turned us off or they just were like, who's that?
Yeah. So Parker had a special day that he had to go do. And we've had quite a few things that have come up in the last, I mean, I think our last show was May 4th.
Yeah, I was going to say it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And so, you know, life's like that sometimes. Parker's starting a new family. And today was his son's one-year birthday party.
Can you believe that? One year already. No. It does not seem like it. But, you know, this time of year, you know, we're not quite out of spring yet, and summer's just around the corner, so this is the busiest time of year. So it does make it a little difficult because, you know, between your family, his family, and everything else that's going on, it just seems like something's always coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they might be a little fewer and farther between in the summer, but so is life.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And, you know, I've had to miss quite a few and probably or a few days, I guess, in March, April, and now Parker's gotten really busy with some his work and stuff. But we are not stopping.
No, and I'm glad that you asked me to fill in today. I hope Parker does not have his feelings hurt.
He comes next week and he's been replaced.
No. Planning a birthday party, obviously, for a one-year-old and having lots of family and some close friends there. It's really important for the parents, and because you just want to make sure that everything's just wonderful for your little one, because right. You're going to get plenty of pictures, and of course the grandparents are like, oh, you know, they're just ooh and aah, and you just want to make sure everything's perfect. So I get it. Things come up. It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, being your first.
Yep.
It's a big deal.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, can you imagine all the gifts he's going to have?
Yeah. What? Let's see. You have how many kids again?
Five between us.
Five. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I have five. So, you know, he's a newbie.
Right. He is a newbie. But, you know, just think of the first time that one-year-old cake, he's going to just get it all over and do that whole thing that parents love to do for the first, you know, birthday. And, oh, yeah, it's gonna be like Christmas in May for that little one.
Yeah, well... You know, me and Brian are so far ahead of Parker.
Yes, we are.
But I will say, you know, Parker's probably one of the more mature, you know, 20-somethings I've met in a long time.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Yeah. Absolutely agree. Yeah.
Now, I don't want to stroke his ego anymore, so let's move on to our topic.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's because we are the three amigos.
That's right.
We all three share the same wedding date.
That's right. This is a reminder. We're all on June 10th, which is coming up, by the way.
Correct. So feel free to, would you like to give out your mailing address, Matt, so we can get our gifts, have people mail their gifts to us?
No. But
we do take Venmo and cash. We will take that.
My Venmo's out there.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
That is not, you don't have access to my personal information if I'm sending out my Venmo, which is Matt Wasko 6. So
I don't have Venmo. I was only kidding. I don't have Venmo, but you do.
Yeah, that's right. If I suddenly start getting money, then I'll start saying it every week.
Then you better split that three ways. Or either that, or you're buying dinner for all six of us on June 10th.
What day is June 10th?
This year, let's see. That's my birthday is a Saturday, which is the 28th of June. So the 21st would be a Saturday. Then the 14th would be a Saturday. So 4 days.
Tuesday?
What, Tuesday? Probably. I think it's Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer day, but...
Hey, it's still a great day.
Yeah, no, it's still a great day. Yeah. Well, that'll be... Okay, here we go. What is my wedding anniversary number?
Oh. Do you need to take your shoes off and start counting your toes?
Yeah, I need to like rub my toes into the carpet to think. Let me think here. See, we got married in 89.
Okay.
So that'd be 30. 26. No, it'd be 36.
Or 36, yeah. 36.
Yeah.
36.
36. Crazy.
It's just going to be a simple 3 for Megan and I.
Yeah.
And what? 2 for Parker?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. That'd be definitely be 2 for Parker.
Yeah.
Because you can't have a 1-year-old and
right,
you only have it less than, you know,
right.
Not necessarily Parker.
Well, I thought it was just 2 for him. Yeah. I thought he had gotten married a year after we did. Yeah. Because I didn't think it was any, I knew it wasn't any less than that. I just didn't think it was any more than 2. I didn't think it was 3 or 4. I think it's just been 2.
You got married in 21, 22?
22.
22? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so today.
Yeah, what's our topic?
The topic is vaping and probably a small discussion about marijuana and its effects.
Ooh, that marijuana.
Marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm bringing this up isn't just out of the blue. I have my own personal experience with vaping.
Okay.
Not me personally. I don't vape.
Well, a close personal relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing it more in the gym.
Okay.
We've had a couple times where suddenly there's this massive, overwhelming smell of marijuana in the gym. And I'd be like, what the heck? Is someone doing marijuana here?
Are they out here, or are they taking it back into the bathroom and then
coming
out?
Well, no, they're not doing it in the gym. They are so soaked in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They bring it in with them outside.
They bring it in with it. And I had people coming into my office going, man, do you smell that? You know, and
it's a very distinct smell.
Yeah. And so a couple times I've had to like identify who's putting off the smell. And I was like, listen, guys, you can't, you know, that smell is so overwhelming. You need to probably have a change of clothes or something, you know, because it's like overwhelming.
They take offense to that?
No, they were cool with it.
They're like, they found us out.
No, they were like, you know, they said, oh, yeah, we were just doing it in the car. And, you know, so, well, obviously a car is like a incubator. You know, you're just going to absorb all of that.
Well, for someone who can do that and that amount of it and smell like that and then come in and actually function in the gym, kudos to them, because that stuff, I don't know how they could do that. But 2, safety. In my opinion, just
100%.
Because if your equilibrium's off in anything, I mean, it'd be like slamming a 6-pack of beer and then coming in and working out or something, and having a huge buzz, and then trying to make sure that you're not dropping the weight or, you know, falling or doing something. To me, there's a slight safety concern with that.
I mean, the percentage of injury risk goes up significantly.
Well, unless you're one that's got it hooked to you constantly 24/7 and you're doing a lot, then those people tend to, just like cigarettes or alcohol, they tend to function with it much better, and then at that point they've gotten past that. But I don't know how they do that. And function not just function mediocrely throughout the day, but to function well. I just don't know how they can do that and function well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's hence the reason I wanted to bring this up.
Sure.
Because, you know, there's a lot of things we've covered about supplements and nutrition style of, or I should say method of training. You know, me and Parker talk a lot about these things, but, you know, because it's kind of near and dear to my heart and I've seen what it can do to someone, and I should say near and dear to my heart as far as a topic of how bad it can be. I should specify that. I think one of the things that we should get into, one, do you have experience with yourself or anyone that you know that vapes?
Vaping, no. As far as I know. So vaping I think is both, if I'm not mistaken, I think vaping can be for both marijuana and just like nicotine or cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Vaping, I think, on the cigarette side, because they want the nicotine and they don't want to have the smoking or anything. Yeah, on the marijuana, I always call it marijuana just for the heck of it, for the marijuana side, I don't know of anybody that's vaping, but to me, I've heard just a lot of negatives to me, I always think of vaping as you're inhaling moisture, or you're inhaling, and I don't know that I've necessarily heard any good things about vaping.
Yeah,
It's always been to me. I have a very negative connotation with that. So I've never tried it, and I don't know of anybody on the marijuana side that's done that.
So
as far as I know,
one of the things that happens is when you vape, it's like a mist, right?
Yeah.
It starts as an oil.
Right.
Well, it vapes. It turns it into a vape or a smoke, like a mist, almost like a watery mist.
Right.
And then it goes into your lungs
and coats them.
And it goes it? Turns back into an oil.
Right. So it coats it. Just sits on your lungs.
It sits on your lungs.
Yeah.
And they've said inside 2 years of doing that, you could permanently damage your lungs. Permanently.
I agree. I mean, I don't see how it couldn't.
And I've seen doctors talk about this to where it's like, you think smoking's bad?
Right.
Vaping's worse.
Yeah.
And how has vaping been sold? That it's better for you than smoking.
Sure.
So.
And that's misleading. And that's, to me, misrepresentation, which we could get into a whole other topic about how these companies, how they market it, who they market it to, and all the false misrepresentations that they give you just to make it sound so good so they can sell more.
And
they're doing flavors to make it
And it's, I remember when I went out to, when I was in marketing and worked, I used to be a video production manager.
Okay.
And we flew out to California in 2013. So that's 12 years ago, right? Never heard of vaping, never seen it. And everyone out there in California was vaping.
Was already doing it.
Yeah, they were doing it. I'm like, what is that? You know? Oh, it's better for you than smoking. I mean, it had already indoctrinated those people out there. And sure enough, within a few years, it's in Kansas or Missouri, right? What I do know is that I did some research in about between 19 and 44. It's pretty much the same between the ages of 19 and 44 years old. We have 20 to 25% of our population doing it.
That much?
Yeah.
Wow. And what's sad about that is that you have 19-year-olds that aren't even giving themselves the chance. It's going to take their bodies a little bit longer, because typically at 19 you should be healthier than you are at 44. Not always, but that should be the typical case because of your youth. And they're not giving themselves an opportunity to start off their young adulthood on a good note. They're vaping, which they're already coating their lungs and setting themselves back by doing that at such a young age.
Yeah. I just looked up the CDC, and I was wrong. It's 15%, so I was wrong.
You know what? It's funny that you took a statistic from the CDC. I wouldn't believe believe a word that the CDC says.
100%.
We'll take it
with a grain of salt. But what we do know is it's not... If I know several people who do it, that means it's kind of like a lot of people do it. I see people come in that are gym members who do it. And again, this is not a criticism. This is an awareness.
Well, and not only that, Matt, what's tough about that is you can explain things to people that are doing it on how bad it really is for you. And they're like, oh, no. And they're right. Drinking the Kool-Aid. They're believing the lies that are, or the manipulations of it that the media and people are telling them, and they continue to do it because, you know, people don't like hearing, I don't know why, but people would much rather be manipulated and hear stupid false propaganda on something rather than the truth any day. And I don't know why, because the truth sets you free. It's so good and refreshing to hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have broad shoulders and if you are set with where you're at, the truth shouldn't be any issue. If you can face what you're doing, a lot of people don't want to face what they're doing if it's not good.
Yeah.
Because they know of their shortcomings, and then they're going to get judged, and they don't want to be judged. So it's just this whole thing. But you should go ahead and just dive into a little more. And if that's affecting your body negatively, I would think that you'd want to know exactly what that entails and why that's doing that. And maybe you should stop and find another avenue.
Well, It's part of it, you know, and I don't want to get into conspiracy theory, although conspiracists are like 10 and 0 right now.
I'll just say we're always found out to be true. Right. We ought to be called truthists, not conspiracy theorists.
I know. But if they want to call me that, I'll wear it, you know.
Can I go outside and get my tinfoil hat? I think it's sitting in my Jeep. I've got two antennas on mine.
That's right. It's all part of the bigger, a big picture, right? And I don't want to stray off topic too much, but you hit upon something, which is, you know, everything seems to have been a lie.
Sure.
For decades.
And when you say everything, it's literally everything.
Everything.
If people were to be shown the extent as to what truly everything is,
yeah,
and you question your existence, everything.
Yeah,
most people couldn't handle that.
Yeah, I mean it is. We've been lied to on every facet of life that you can imagine. Everything you believed about nutrition, everything you believed about
our food.
You know, everything you believed about politics. You know, who's the heroes and who's the villains?
Our government.
It has been. Mm-hmm. We are waking up in the last few years, and this little component of vaping is only a small picture of it. Isn't Philip Morris
the cigarette company?
Mm-hmm. What did Philip Morris buy? Food companies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Food companies. And they had the scientists that knew how to addict people on the cigarettes. And so they used that same science to addict people to food. Processed food.
Well, just a quick side note, step further. What did Bayer? Bayer is a pharmaceutical company, right? Mm-hmm. Making aspirin and different things. They bought Monsanto, or did Monsanto buy Bayer? One of the two. But Monsanto is a weed killer, or a killing. I think it's like a crop feed. I think it kills bugs for crops,
right,
and things.
Right, right, right.
So, and it's a weed killer, bug killer, I think, company type thing, and they merge. So, you know, I mean, because certain things cause the cancers with that, so they merge. So, you know, these companies, like you said, with Philip Morris and these food companies, they're merging for a reason.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why would you think they would want a partner?
Well, they've discovered how to make money.
Well, yeah, right. And if you're gonna sit there. Whether you vape, whether you smoke marijuana, because some of those things make people hungry. So, oh, look, you know what? I'm going to go out and smoke, a joint, a doob, I'm going to eat a whole bag of Doritos. right. Or, you know, oh, look, man, those Doritos taste so good. You know, I guess now I'm on to Cheetos. Or you know, whatever that is. There are a lot of packages of chips and junk food being sold because of partnerships like what you were discussing.
Yeah.
And it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Well, here's the thing, you know, as bad as social media can be for people, it has also been a vehicle of truth. A lot of truth has been getting out through social media that you're not going to see in the mainstream.
Right.
You know, and because of that, a lot of people have, because you see these things and everything kind of gets put together, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, well, that's just logic. That just makes sense, right?
I wish more people had that.
Yeah, I know.
Well, a lot of people make sense or have sense, then they can't find the logic in it.
Well, I mean, I do believe that we are, we've passed the 50% mark of people who are starting to get it.
I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
It might, even if it's just past 50, that's a big jump, because it wasn't ever that much.
Yeah. And I want to say we're past 50%, and that is exciting from the standpoint. But here's the thing. We've discovered, and you know, I had one of my clients tell me this last week, and she knows, she'll hear this in a minute. She's standing to the right of me. But she accused us of going off topic, and we're doing it again. Anyway.
Oops.
Yeah. So, but it's a good thing to go off on. But the point is as we, you know, as you discover these realities, you start seeing a pattern of behavior from those that are have massive influence over our society, that have had massive influence through propaganda over our society, and it was supported through our tax dollars.
Well, that, you know, yeah, they take our tax dollars, use them against us. They all in the name of science or whatever betterment for us, and then they'll use it and turn around and put it right back in our face in the guise of, oh, it's good for you or whatever.
Well, they use the buzzwords, right?
Yeah,
the control emotions.
Sure,
you know, that's the thing. It's like, if you hear an argument and the argument is being swayed by emotion, if you understand what's happening, they've already lost. But if you get caught in that, it's like, oh, I don't want him to feel bad, or I don't want someone to look at me a certain way. No, you just take the bulls by the horn and say, nope, this is the way it is. And if you start arguing from emotion, then you have no logic.
Well, you've already lost if you're arguing by emotion. Yeah. Truth and logic will win out. And, you know, the tough thing is with regards to the whole vaping topic is that I don't know if they tell you if it's addictive or not, but you see people doing it. The ones that are doing it, they're constantly doing it. It's almost like they can't pull it out of their pocket fast enough to take a puff off of it because I guess their body is so addicted to the nicotine, if it's on the cigarette side, or they just like that feeling of the vape, that they just, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's not, I think it's more of a, I don't know if you'd call it an epidemic, but it's just more of an issue, I think, than what it probably should be.
I wouldn't say it's an epidemic. I mean, you know, 10 to 15% or even closer to 20%, whatever it is, we know it's prevalent enough. And it's just enough for us to say, guys, we need to rethink this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'll give you a hint of my own personal story. So my son was doing vapes going on 2.5 years, I think. And towards the end, he was doing them so much and so heavy, it was literally he was having delusions, literal, like I'd say moments of complete detachment from reality, not able to string thought processes together, right? That, you know, like you would listen to him and go like, this guy's crazy. You know, he has no idea what he's talking about. And I have a close friend of mine that has become a phenomenal person. And I'll hopefully, he doesn't mind me mentioning his name, but it's Jeff. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff, who owns this gym, who is now among many people that look up to him because he's he cares so much about people, mm-hmm. you know. But he was doing vapes. And this is over, you know, quite earlier in his life. And I was telling him about my son. I'm like, I swear it's causing induced psychosis. And he goes, 100%. 100%. Because it was doing the same thing to me. You do enough of them, there's chemicals in there, and I think I have found that chemical. If I can find it real quick, it starts with a T, but it's if I can find it real quick. But the point is that this chemical that's in there, oh, here it is, tetrahydrocannabinol.
Yeah, THC.
Yeah. So, you know, it's this, you know, associated with anxiety, paranoia, and some cases psychosis. And so it depends on your, you know, your chemical makeup. You know, some people are more susceptible to these things than others, but that's what it was doing to him. And it's extremely damaging to yourself and to everyone around you. You can't function and be a normal human being, right? So this is one of those things that, man, if you can get off vapes, you know, I have obviously a personal testimony, get off of them, because, you know, they're, and that isn't, that's just the THC and the the other chemicals that they use to put in there to make this up to function the way it does mm-hmm. are just adding. It's just, you know, some of them are like forever chemicals, you know, and it's hard to get them out.
Well, THC comes in many different forms. It comes in, you can get it in a vape, you can get it in a gummy, you can get it in a, a real joint. You can get it in a lot of different things. Now, let's play devil's advocate, or flip it. To me, well, first of all, I think that the people that have issues with it, and maybe, does your son have an addictive personality?
I want to say my wife's side of the family has an addictive personality.
Well, maybe he's gotten some of that, right. And that's where it's grabbed. I think the people that have issues with, whether it's the vaping side of it, whether it's eating gummies every day, whether it's smoking pot every day, whatever those are, whether it's drinking 5 Cokes a day, they have an addictive personality that draws them to something and gives them that pleasure or gives them that satisfaction, so they keep doing it.
Right.
I think the people, because I don't understand how people can have addictive personalities, because I don't feel that I have one.
Right.
I just don't know where they, how that feels to them and what that means. But I think the people with addictive personalities grab a hold of something and it's hard for them to let it go. Because once your son lets that go, he's probably going to grab onto something else, and he's going to hopefully find something that's in a much better spot for him and mm-hmm. gravitate towards that and then focus on that.
Yeah, that's pretty common. You'll see people who they lose weight and then they pick up smoking, or they pick up smoking and then they quit smoking and then they start gaining weight. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like sometimes the addictive personality moves from one aspect to another.
Correct.
You know, and so you beat one, but it is replaced by something else.
Right. But sometimes those people with those addictive personalities will replace something that's been bad for them addictive-wise
mm-hmm.
and replace it with something very good, but they'll take it to the extreme because they have that addictive personality and they don't know how to moderate that.
Right.
They push that further.
Right.
But the reason why I say that is, let's flip it. Not on the vape side, but on the THC side or on the marijuana side, I think there can be some good benefits to it if used moderately,
mm-hmm.
not very often. It can be used to help with your anxiety. It can be used to help with your stress. It can be used to help with sleeping. There are some good uses to it if you know how to use it. If you don't use it correctly, then yes. I don't know if you've ever heard... Do you remember the stories growing up? You'd always hear when people were smoking weed or pot that, all they ever wanted to do was just sit on the couch all day and do nothing and eat, and they just were lazy because that's all they did. To me, I think those are people, either they don't have a drive or they have an addictive personality, but there are good uses if you were to use it before you go to bed. It knocks your stress level down and it allows you to sleep, and then you wake up. And you can function the next day.
Right.
But not everybody has the wherewithal, I guess, the fortitude, the mind strength to do that. They want to get into something and continue to push that.
Well, I mean, that's probably a show on psychology. you know, but...
I mean, but we are talking about marijuana and
yeah,
vaping.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And so there's... To me, I think there's always a good and a bad with everything. Now, the good may not outweigh the bad in this instance, but there is a yin and a yang, or there is a good side.
Right. And I think, you know, a lot of it comes down to the way the world was set up. I mean, ultimately, nothing, we all have a void, and there's only one thing that fills that void, and we all know what that is.
Well, there actually should only be one thing, but there are other things.
Yeah.
We should know what the one void is.
The one void, as we're talking about, is Christ. But
correct.
The point is that he's the only one that fills you at that hole, and it fills the hole.
People are trying to fill the hole with other things, and
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
We're on the same page as that.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's ultimately, you know, and to a certain extent, you know, all of us from time to time, we try to fill that void with other things, and we're like, now that doesn't work. Go right back to Christ. But that being said, you know, on our topic, and you know, the point is that people you have to understand that, you know, when you're trying to be a better version of yourself, right? And that is, you come in here, you eat healthy, you sleep the best you can, you're taking the supplements that you might need to reach your goals, because some people need different supplements. Mm-hmm. And then you put in the work to maintain a fit body so that you have muscle mass. Mm-hmm. I just saw something recently that challenged that, and that was...
And the whole that whole process or part of it?
Part of it.
Okay.
Okay. And I've seen it a few times, and obviously I saw it on social media, and I'm like, I remember I posted, said, BS.
you actually did that? You posted that?
Yeah, I just said BS. I didn't actually say the word. Anyway, so the point is that one of the things that someone, you're always having arrows or daggers trying to chip away at the way we were designed to function, right?
You
know, like, and it made the claim through a study.
A study
in quotations.
Yes. Yes.
We should not eliminate, or not eliminate, we shouldn't lower our carbs. Our carbs should be high. And I laughed. I'm like, you can't be serious. I'm like, our carbs are so bad in America. Where am I getting these quality carbs?
Right.
You know?
Well, now that could be the difference. The carbs as we know them today, yes, those should definitely be lowered. But if you were to have breads, getting carbs from fresh baked bread, like from Italy or Spain or somewhere else, different, then maybe that might have a little more merit.
Yeah.
Is that where you were going with that?
Well, and that's part of it. You know, the statement was that we shouldn't eliminate carbs because, and get this, if you eliminate carbs, it's going to reduce your muscle mass by 4 times.
No. Carbs?
Carbs.
Seriously.
I'm like, four what? Times?
Can I see that study?
Yeah, I wanted. I was like, I got to get into this study and see how it's conducted. And it was funny. You look in the comments, everyone's going, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. You know,
I bet the doctors that did that study aren't doctors, but I bet you they stayed at Holiday Inn Expresses the night before they wrote it.
Yeah. And I you know, I'm just like, okay. For someone,
anyway, old TV commercial joke there. If you, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Just to get the audience up to speed.
Okay. Yeah, so there might be some younger generation that doesn't know what you're talking about.
Well, but it's only been 5 years ago on the, I think, commercial-wise. It hasn't been that long ago.
I thought it's been 10.
It might be 5 to 10. Anyway, yeah, still not that long ago.
But the point is like, for someone who writes meal plans, and I do low carbs, I've never seen that happen. And I've seen people...
But just hearing it come out of your mouth, Matt, just sounds...
It's insane.
Farcical. It just doesn't...
It's insane.
It sounds...
You know, not double, not triple, but quadruple.
Times. Yeah.
4 times, you're going to lose at a rate of 4 times.
Okay.
And I'm like, what? You know, and what does that number represent? Because obviously, no one can lose 4 times their muscle mass because they couldn't be able to move. So 4 times the rate, what's the rate?
Well, I think I'm going to go home and eat a great big bowl of spaghetti so I don't lose my muscle mass after we get done.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, you had a ton of carnivores get on there. I mean, think of Dr. Sean Baker. Strict carnivore, right? Mm-hmm. Eats hardly, very, very little carbs, if any. Mm-hmm. And he's added muscle mass, strong as crap. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not on test. He's not on anabolics. So absolute baloney from, I have personal experience designing these meal plans and people when they want to cut weight and they here's the thing, they are going to lose a little of muscle mass on average because when you're cutting, that's just what's going to happen,
right?
But you're not going to lose that much,
right?
So and you'll get a little weaker. It depends on how much we're cutting. So anyway, I digress.
Yeah, off topic.
Off topic.
Yes.
Again, for my lady friend that I train.
Wait, she's going to listen to it anyway. So what's her name?
Julie.
Sorry, Julie. Sorry. We get, there are so many different facets to the topics that we talk about. It's very simple to, go down, the road on the left rather than stay on the road that we should stay on, or we could even go right. And it just takes us in a different direction. So sorry, Julie, we are doing our best we can.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I've seen on, you know, some of the more famous podcasts, sometimes they go a little to the left or to the right.
Sure.
Because it's just, it kind of, you kind of want to give supporting evidence, and then that kind of opens the door of why the evidence is that way.
Well, our topic is a great big ball. I mean, we can just, we go all over the place. It's yeah. just, yeah.
So, that being said, you know, I wanted to discuss the vulnerability. There we go. I say all these words and I can't say that word.
Have you been vaping, Matt?
Yeah, apparently. So these are some of the factors that makes people susceptible to it, to vaping.
To vaping, okay.
Yeah. So, but,
well, so this is vaping specific, or is this also just THC, like as in smoking a
well,
a joint?
I think this would apply to both vaping and marijuana.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's hear them.
Okay. So genetic predisposition.
Okay.
I mean...
You mean as in if they can... latch onto something fast if they have a
like we had talked about yeah. where my wife's side of the family has kind of
an addictive personality. So that, to me, genetic disposition would be that's what I would think of. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
A history of substance abuse.
Yeah. Which leads back to addictive personality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Existing mental health conditions.
Okay.
Okay. And susceptible, which is. Yeah. Okay. All of those three things make people susceptible to experiencing psychotic symptoms from vaping.
Which all lead back to an addictive personality. It's something that you just don't have. Not that you don't have it. Maybe you just don't want to have it. The will to stop.
Right. Right. It goes on to say that... studies have indicated that both nicotine and THC can affect the neurotransmitter systems in the brain related to mood regulation, perception, primarily dopamine pathways, which play roles in both addiction and psychosis. Some data suggests an association between e-cigarettes use among adolescents and young adults and increased rates of anxiety disorders or depression symptoms over time. 100% agree.
No, I would. And on top of that, besides the dopamine is those receptors. When those receptors cannot fire and do what they need to tell you, hey, enough's enough, or this is no longer good, or whatever the case may be with those receptors, and it blocks them to where they can't do their job to function, then you just push right past that. So you're constantly doing it more. And you don't have a shut-off mechanism to alert you of when you need to stop. So that's in and of itself is not a good thing, for sure.
Another thing is the that can contribute to that on top of those predispositions or those addictive personality attributes is psychological stressors. Like if you have done something in your life that you feel ashamed about,
sure.
You'll try to cover that pain up.
And the bigger the pain, the more you're going to need that.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Or the bigger the guilt, the more you're going to rely on that.
100%.
Yeah.
Social environments, you know, surrounded by the substance use, you know. And we've talked about that. Mass, they call it, I heard Jordan Peterson talking about it about a month ago, where you have... what is it? It's mass. I can't remember the word he used, but you have these things like you years ago, you had this aspect of young kids cutting themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I remember when that started happening. I go, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't understand it. And it was prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so society picks it up and it becomes like a virus.
Yeah.
You know, it just spreads along the youth. The use of, you know, marijuana, same thing. The use of, there's another thing that happened in the 1920s that he mentioned that started up and then it spread. And it could have been, it might have been just like, you know, when cigarettes first came around.
Hmm, it could have been. Or maybe filtered cigarettes for the first time. I don't know how long filtered have been around, but.
Yeah, but what he's saying is that society just kind of, some of these bizarre contagions.
And then they gravitate towards it.
And the youth pick it up.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're like, I don't understand what's happening here.
Yeah.
Because nothing like that happened. I mean, I was raised in the 80s, right?
Right. Me too. Yeah.
And so, you know, and I remember this happening, you know, if someone was dressed up in as an opposite sex, they were picked up.
Yeah.
You know, and they were they were picked up and they took them to a mental health facility.
Mm-hmm.
And now that is, you know, completely, you know, that's normal.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they pushed it to be that way.
Right. So, you know, that's where we are, is that, you know, we've turned everything upside down. And so, you know, you look at where society is, and it goes back to that whole principle that, you know, this series of lies started decades ago.
Uh-huh.
Decades and decades ago, and has been ingrained in us. Take the food pyramid, which is, you know, we're a health and wellness podcast. Take the food pyramid. We've talked about it many times on this, that is complete baloney.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Flip it upside down.
Flipped it upside down, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so is it any wonder that every aspect of our life, you know, the medical community, I mean, I'm sorry, but they took a massive hit in trust.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. You know, this whole, you know, the way we look at cholesterol, the way we look at salt, the way we look at red meat, the way we look at, you know, whatever it might be in the medical community, where we use drugs to fix everything, you know.
Well, you know, Matt, what, to me, this boils down to one basic main principle, which is mm-hmm. very simple if you think about it. With everything that we've been given over the last 30, 40 years that we've been discussing since you and I grew up both in the 80s, I mean, we were kids and younger kids in the 70s, but we really grew up in the 80s. If back in the day in school, when we didn't have the internet, when we didn't have phones, smartphones that can give you everything just like that, and give you that satisfaction of having everything at your fingertips, you actually had to do research. You actually had to research something in order if you wanted to find the truth of it. You couldn't find it on your phone because you didn't have a phone.
Mm-hmm.
The computer, you just had to go to a library and do all your research. And, you know, they were actually done by actual, I mean, the studies were actually real. They were mm-hmm. non-biased. They weren't paid for by a, you know, a company trying to get you to give them the benefits of for a reason to where they could push their product. It was actually unbiased research, and you were able to get those answers that you needed without doing all that. I mean, because now everything has just been so manipulated, and they give us, oh, it's a study. Well, it was done by the company that you know, the company that
funded it, yeah,
is trying to benefit from it. So anyway, I think I would
mitigate that from the standpoint of right now it's hard to trust anything, because it seems like more times than not what you're being told is a lie.
Right. So right? Do your research.
Right. And that has only gotten worse in the last 15 to 20 years.
Oh, even
right?
less than that. Right. I'd say even the last 5 to 10, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you go back to the 50s and 60s, I think some of that was going on where, I mean, like how, I mean, it was in the 50s and 60s where they were starting to turn the ideal of, even before that, the 20s and 30s, they were starting to, they came up with the ideal of bowls of cereal, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, I used to love cereal.
You know, and what Kellogg's did was like, they said, well, you need to have your bananas with your, I used to sell like a coupon with your each bowl of cereal you got, and that was for a banana, you know, and so that came with your cereal.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, this is before us.
Okay.
You know, this is is like in the 30s and 40s.
Okay.
And you know, this is when you started having grocery stores and stuff like that.
Right.
And it might have been in the 50s actually. So the point is that I think cereal's terrible for you.
Oh, Frosted Flakes used to be my favorite. Oh, I loved them.
When I was in college, it was Captain Crunch.
Yeah, the peanut butter Captain Crunch, I loved the with the berries, the Captain Crunch and berries, I know. But the peanut butter Captain Crunch, I loved. Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles. I tell you what I really loved were Frosted Mini Wheats as well.
Yeah.
Frosted Mini Wheats, Life, Cinnamon Life. I mean, I very rarely, I didn't like a fruity cereal very much, but it was the stuff with the peanut butter or the cinnamon or the sugar and the chocolate.
So bad for you.
It is.
I now, remember.
Maybe that's why I've lost plenty of brain cells, I think, from eating all the cereal that I did. Well, and then taking grape nuts and then pouring a whole spoonful of sugar over the grape nuts.
Yeah. Well, when I was in college, I was at a fraternity, and we had Captain Crunch on. We had a giant container that they would dump massive bags of Captain Crunch into that we would push down the lever and would exit into our bowl like you would do in a grocery store. And it was like full, like it was like a foot wide, 3 feet deep, like 3 feet high. It was all filled with Captain Crunch.
And no wonder college fraternities did stupid stuff because they were killing brain cells eating all that cereal.
It was like I couldn't wait to go get my Captain
Crunch. Of course.
But almost every day after I had my Captain Crunch, within the halfway through my first class, my stomach was killing me. My stomach's killing me. And
how many bowls did you eat? Two?
Oh, it's probably, but guaranteed two.
Yeah.
Guaranteed two.
And then they want to blame it on, you know what? You might be lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Because of the milk.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the cereal, but you better get checked out because I think you might be lactose intolerant. If your stomach hurts, it could be the milk.
Yeah. But
do you see where I'm going with that?
No, 100%. 100%.
They deflect everything away because they don't want you to know the truth about what that's in.
And as we've discovered, you know, a lot of times it's not the lactose intolerant is not the milk, or it's not actually lactose intolerant.
Right.
You know, it could be the cereal, or it could be that it's pasteurized.
Correct, and homogenized, and not raw milk, which, by the way, raw milk is the best. And I've got a gallon of it sitting in the fridge back behind us, which I'm going to get after the show. Thank you, Parker. But that is amazing. It does so much good for your gut.
Yeah.
Julie's going to get mad at us if we don't get back on topic.
All right. Yeah. Well, this one's for her because, you know, we've been going left and right of our topic. But the point is, one of the things I wanted to say is now, all the things I've said that are to the negative, you know, marijuana does have a medicinal value.
Right. And that's what I was alluding to earlier, because it is something that is, it's to me, a lot of things that God has provided us has been on this earth for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, and this isn't to go off topic, just is to give a quick example, people think that dandelions are weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they might look like a weed, but they're not. They have a ton of medicinal uses to them, and they're very good for you. So if you don't like the way they look in your yard, that's one thing. Maybe kill them all on a certain part of your yard and just have a little area to where you can grow them and then figure out how to use them and utilize their benefits, because dandelions are actually very good for you.
Yeah.
So to me, while the benefits may not be as long listed for marijuana, God gave it to us for a reason. And if you think about it, the American Indians that were on this land way before we were, found many ways to use that in a good way.
Yeah.
So to me, there are, you know, and if you just go back 100 years to our great grandparents, if I could go back 100 years, Matt,
mm-hmm.
100, 120 years to my great and great great grandparents and have a catalog written down, because obviously there weren't computers and they had everything written down, and just had all their book of recipes and all their book of medicinal ointments and concoctions to fix everything that ailed us, I'd be the smartest guy around today.
Right.
Because I would be following that book to a T, because they all worked.
Well, they have books out there.
Well, but I mean, but you know, just firsthand, if you had that old paperwork from them that had it written down, because in different families, different generations, different locations, regions throughout the United States, it might be the same base, but there could be just little different nuances
to it.
So you could do things a few different ways. But I digress. The point of that is not only is it marijuana or dandelions, it's pretty much anything that you find that's grown. You know, why do you think they want to take the seeds and take those, what do they call them, heirloom seeds and want to change them to where they don't have, you know, why do you think they want to genetically modify everything?
Right.
It's because it doesn't give us the health benefit that God has given us with the things that are being grown and provided on Earth.
Yeah.
And marijuana is one of them. So with that said, what did you find some good benefits on?
Yeah, I was
on
looking up dandelions because it's funny you mentioned that. My wife just mentioned that to me yesterday. Mm-hmm. And of course, I wasn't paying a lot of attention. So I was like, what did she say? So dandelions have a variety of uses across different fields, culinary, medicinal, mm-hmm. and ecological. Interesting. So some of the culinary uses, salads, teas, cooking, and mm-hmm. coffee substitute.
The tea is what I'm aware of, but okay. So, and salads, yep.
Yeah. So
so you can take the leaves of the dandelion for your salad, yes.
Let's see. Young dandelion leaves, yep. Eaten raw in salads. Wow. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Dandelion roots leaves can be dried and used as herbal teas. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I thought, well, you eat that, you're going to get sick.
Well,
you
know? What I used to do is we would pick up a dandelion on the stalk, and it was wet, almost like it's not its blood, but it's you know, moisture. Whenever you break the break it from the root and you snap the stalk, and you'd lick it, and it had just such a. I remember it always had such a bitter taste. And I don't know why we would do that, but
kids.
Yeah, but just being kids. But anyway, what else did you find on the dandelions?
Well, coffee substitute. Roasted dandelion root is often ground into powder and served as a caffeine-free coffee alternative. Interesting. Medicinal uses. Mm-hmm. Digestive aid.
Yep.
Liver health. Anti-inflammatory properties.
There you go. I probably need to make my dandelion tea more often for those anti-inflammatories.
And dandelions are rich in vitamin A, C, K, and several B vitamins, along with minerals like iron, calcium, magnesium, and potassium. Wow, I guess I need to start adding this to my...
Maybe you should listen to your wife a little bit more when she starts talking about something.
She ain't going to listen to this. See, ecological uses, pollinator support. Dandelions provide an early source of pollen for bees and other pollinators in spring when few other flowers are available. Soil improvement,
deep-rooted
tap roots mm-hmm. help aerate the soil and bring nutrients up from the deeper layers. Wow. I had no idea. So, again... so 100%, you know, when it comes to marijuana,
what are the benefits that you found on marijuana since you brought up first the negative and now you're bringing up the positive, what did you find?
So let me go back to that list here. So it can be used as a stress management,
like I said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some techniques, athletes, they share their experience of marijuana use, and how in some cases after like training,
sure.
If they, or if they're approaching a big event, mm-hmm. they might do some marijuana use, like not during the event, not during their training, but, as a de-stressor.
So just so you're aware because you're getting into some benefits mm-hmm. on the THC, there are two different, I think there might be more, but there's two main categories of the THC. One's the sativa, which gives you more of an enlightened, happy, awake feeling. And then the indigo is the part of the THC that they derive that gives you the stress. It helps with stress. It helps with sleep. It brings you down. It's kind of a downer in a way. It just drops everything and just it lowers your overall just mood level. not in a bad way, as in like it doesn't bring you down to be a depressed state. It just brings you down to where it eliminates a lot of that stress.
Right.
And it really makes you tired. And then they have a hybrid between the two to where you can mix them both together to give you that lower feeling, but you're still kind of functioning.
Yeah.
So the indigo is what you would take to before you go to bed to help eliminate some of that stress and to give you a better night's sleep.
Yeah.
If you had to have something to wear, like maybe the athletes, my guess would be either they did a hybrid or they did a sativa a little bit before they had a big event, and then that helped them out because it still allowed them to be awake and alert and happy, but it made them function.
Right. Because
you wouldn't want to have an indigo before you had to go do a track meet or something major in a big way that you had to function.
So indigo, why is it called indigo?
I think it has something to do, I'm not 100% sure. I think it's something to do with the buds. They derive, I think, certain part of the bud, I think, if I'm not mistaken. My brother used to actually, he started and founded a company with some partners, and he sold out his share. It was a marijuana company in Colorado. And they did quite well for a small company, but it's very regulated, and there's a lot that goes into it. But there are it's a science, believe
right.
it or not.
Wow.
So I think it has something to do with the bud of the plant, and I don't remember how they derive it or how they come up with that. But it's a process for sure. You could always look it up, and it'll give you more information. But the indica. Indica, is the one that gets you, it brings you down.
Right.
Sativa brings you up.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, so that the reason why I said that is you start getting into the benefits, and I'm just
right.
letting you know because there are certain ones probably related to each of those benefits. So
so just to cover, we've talked about it, the negatives, which is impaired cognitive function, dependency issues, mm-hmm. And where it can actually cause psychosis.
Right.
Okay. Now, some of the benefits, pain relief,
yep.
anxiety and depression,
yep.
Appetite stimulation, which I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, no.
I mean, because I guess if you have... if you're anorexic.
Well, no, it can be good. If you are a good person in general that wants to eat right, but you need to eat more and you don't have the appetite, you're not going to gravitate, I don't think, necessarily to something bad. And you could still eat something good. It's just, it's to boost your appetite.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about that topic. I mean, it seems to me that the window of, between... using that in a positive manner, I don't know how big that window is. You
right.
know, if there's a lot more negative to doing that than there is a positive, but I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nausea reduction.
No, I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, it says it can affect in reducing nausea and vomiting, particularly in patients undergoing chemotherapy.
Okay.
Or those with certain gastrointestinal disorders. Sleep aid.
Yep, told you that.
Uh-huh. And, certain strains of cannabis may provide relaxation and improve sleep quality, helping new individuals with insomnia and other sleep disorders.
Well, there you go, the strain. That's probably the certain strain of
yeah.
it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Neurological protection. Research that indicates cannabinoids might have neuroprotective properties, potentially benefiting conditions such as epilepsy, neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's.
Now, look at that. See, so... It also had some neurological negative effects, as per your son that
mm-hmm.
you mentioned. Now it has the positive side of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's where it's some of these things are not for everybody.
Correct.
You know,
like I said, addictive personalities shouldn't be gravitating towards
no,
us.
No, and I'm more of the aspect that I think, and I'm crazy saying this, but I actually think the vape pens. If you were to look at cannabis. Cigarettes and vaping, and you ranked what's the worst, I would put vaping at the top.
Yeah. Well, so like I said, there are, and I got into the benefits before you had them on your list to discuss.
Right.
But so you can get the benefits from the THC out of the marijuana without smoking a joint. mm-hmm. without vaping it. You can take a gummy, which is mm-hmm. it takes longer for it to digest and to hit you, mm-hmm. but you can do that. They also have little granulars, like it looks just like a powder.
Right.
And you open it up and you dump it in your water and you drink it, and that's going to give you more almost of an immediate effect because it hits your system and just disperses that
right.
much quicker. So there's also, they typically come in, like you can get packets, little packets of the granulars in 5 milligrams.
Okay.
The gummies come in like a 10 or a 15 milligram. Some of the heavyweights, I would call them, are 30 milligram. You don't want a 30 milligram unless if you're planning on doing something other than sit on the couch all day and just go, you know, you don't want a 30 milligram because you'll be slobbering over yourself. Now,
yeah.
the people that can take a 30 milligram, I salute you. I mean, kudos to that. Those things are, you just need to be careful with that. But they're typically in 10 milligrams, and even a 10, depending on what your tolerance is, a 10 can still be a pretty good hit to you.
Yeah.
But, so those are different ways on how you can get those benefits. Or on the flip side, if you're have an addictive personality and you're doing it, you can do other things other than vape that would still continue to not be so good for you. But there are different methods to it.
Well, and I think it also could be that, okay, so the marijuana leaf, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it is one of God's creations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to have positive aspects that mm-hmm. it is created for a reason,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, in a culture that's a culture of indulgence, mm-hmm. which we are,
mm-hmm.
we have first world problems.
Mm-hmm.
And our first world problems are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
This is
Starbucks wasn't open today. I can't have my latte.
I'm working too hard. So that being said, is like you could make the argument that marijuana is not great for this society, except for those that do have the understanding and willpower to use it as it's intended.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they use it. The ones that can use it, medicinally and for those types of things, those are yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a few more muscle spasm relief.
Okay.
Which I've definitely seen that.
Okay.
Anti-inflammatory properties,
mm-hmm.
mental health disorders, you know, and they go on to say, evidence suggests potential therapeutic effects for PTSD.
Oh, okay.
Cancer treatment support and others. So that's kind of covering, I mean, we covered the negatives, and I didn't want to get too, you know, because there's positives to, you know, cannabis and those, you know, those things. But the problem is like when it comes to athletics and sports, you know, you really have to not abuse it.
Well, just don't, you're exactly right. Just don't come into the gym looking like Pigpen from the Peanuts gang and have that big brown cloud around you smelling like it, like you just, you know, rolled out or opened up your car door and just
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, leave it outside the gym or keep it minimally to where it doesn't affect anybody else.
Now, when it comes to vapes, I say no vapes.
Yeah.
Zero vapes.
None. I agree.
Get rid of them. They're so bad for you. They're destroying your lungs. I've seen absolute horrid responses. I've talked to the medical community, and they have all said the exact same thing. They can cause psychosis.
Yeah.
And they've seen it many, many times.
Yeah. Pick a different alternative if you need something for just a slight medicinal benefit. Pick the granulars. It's more of a granular, I guess, than a powder. But pick the granulars. Pick gummies. You can, you know, if you don't want the smoke, then don't buy the pre-rolled joints or a joint anyway. Just gummies and the powders would be probably the way to go out of all of those.
So I know we got to get Brian on his way. He's got a graduation party, right?
Yeah, my oldest that's still at home is we're celebrating her graduation. She just graduated from Lee Summit North last week, and we're celebrating with her party today.
Yeah, so we got to let Brian get out of here. But Brian, any parting words?
No, I think you know, today's topic is, you know, a lot of people like to work hard in the gym, and they still partake with what, I mean, you've now noticed it firsthand, obviously smelling it coming in. So, you know, while some people don't have the the thought process to say, yeah, you know, I do it because it relaxes me, or I do it this way. They just like the way it makes them feel. There are, you know, although there are a ton of negative connotations to it, you just remember that there are plenty of positives to go along with it, but just use it moderately.
You're specifically talking about more like cannabis than anything else.
Well, yeah, because, well, yeah, because vaping, you can vape on nicotine or cigarettes, and you can do cannabis. Mm-hmm. To me, when you mentioned vaping, I took it more as the vaping side of cannabis today. But whether it's vaping and cigarettes or cannabis or whatever, just to get your nicotine or to get your THC, yeah, that's not good. I would go along with your
yeah, because vaping has a lot of the chemicals. Now, THC, which is also in cannabis, can both in vaping and cigarette can cause psychosis.
Right. And so I'd say the vaping, because you can probably, I'm sure you can vape with CBD too, which yes. CBD it's still the cannabis, but it's the non-THC. It doesn't have those qualities or properties to it.
Well, I've heard that's what they say. I don't know if that's true.
If it is, it's very, very, yeah. very, very little. Yeah. It's almost minuscule. But or at least I think that's what my brother told me at one time. But either way, vaping, no. Again, if you don't want any, you know, if you're not used to smoking cigarettes and you don't like the smoke and the inhaling of all that, then don't do that. Just do get a gummy or get the granulars and see if that helps you for what it is that you need. So I think it's a great topic. I think people need to understand the benefits and the risks of what they're doing. And not everybody, I don't think, takes the time to look into that.
So I would say in parting as like, you know, medicinal uses, understood, right? You know,
use with caution.
Use with great caution. Mm-hmm. Use with great caution. And that's understanding your predispositions. You know, look in your family history. It's definitely, definitely not for everyone.
But you know you better than anybody else. So if you have a addictive personality and you know you do, this is probably not what you should be doing to help 100%. With your stress. Find something that's even natural, but not. I mean, anything in great use could be detrimental, but something that doesn't have these addictive qualities, such as THC.
Yeah.
Find something that's better for you that could eliminate the stress if you have an addictive personality.
So, granted, me and Brian are not doctors.
Right. Yeah. And I declined to stay at the Holiday Inn Express last night.
Right.
I didn't have time. Yeah.
We're not doctors. So, you know, if someone who has professional experience in this wants to come on and correct us, we'll welcome you on the show.
Correct.
Yeah, so, all right, guys. Well, we're going to let you go and we'll try. Hopefully, we have Parker will be back next week. If not, Brian might be back.
I'm always welcome if you'll have me.
All right, guys. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Hey, look at you. You've completed another milestone by finishing this episode of Loading the Bar. Your future self thanks you profusely. Loading the Bar is podcasted from Lee Summit, Missouri. Email us at cpt.kansascity@gmail.com. Forge ahead and share your progress. And we'll see you back here for another episode of Loading the Bar.